thanks for being with us, and congratulations on the publication of your book. It's called, great title, The End of All Things Earthly. Where did you get the title from?
The title comes from a letter written by Michael Mallon to his family. It was the last letter to his family, and it's really quite a heartbreaking missive to his wife and to his young children. It's a direct quote from his letter to his wife. My darling wife, pulse of my heart, this is the end of all things earthly. Since sentence of death has been passed, and at 4:15 tomorrow, the sentence will be carried out by shooting. So actually, that letter would bring a tear to a stone. It's quite moving.
But David, where was he when he was writing that?
He was in prison in Kilmainham.
It was in Kilmainham.
Last letter, as I say, written to his wife Agnes, and he was a father of young children. In fact, one of whom, he had two sons who became Jesuits, and in the letter he expresses a wish that his children some of them would dedicate themselves to God in religious life. But two of them, in fact, did become Jesuits. One of whom is still alive. He's in Japan. I'm not sure whether it's John or Joseph. Mm. But the gentleman, he's 101 or 102 years of age. It's just quite extraordinary.
Wow.
But it's quite a moving, heartbreaking. I'd even say letter from a father to his wife
and children.
It's as I say, just a very moving piece.
Yeah, and that is the title of the book that is hot off the press. It hasn't even been formally launched yet.
No, it's being launched in Dublin, I think, on the Wednesday, the 9th of March, and in Limerick on the 15th of March. So I just received an advance copy in the last couple of days. It's a lovely, one of the staff here with me described it as just very unthreatening. It would fit in the pocket of your coat or in a handbag. And it's really aimed at the general reader, someone who may not know a great deal about the Rising. It's quite an accessible read, and I know another member of staff that I gave a copy to, what he said to me, just enough. I think all of us, I certainly know myself, with internet and the rest, and you're surfing here, there and everywhere, and unfortunately I find my concentration is not what it was. So these pieces, they're short, they're kind of like an amuse-bouche.
Yes.
Get your taste buds...
Just whet the appetite a bit.
Correct, yeah.
And David, talk to me about some of the contributors and what sort of things that they have given to you and put in the book.
Well, I suppose I'm particularly delighted. I'm the diocesan archivist in Limerick Diocese. I'm particularly delighted that many of the contributors are actually coming from that background. They're archivists working in either diocesan or religious archives. So Noel Dowling, who's Dublin diocesan archivist, Bernie Deasy, who works in an extraordinary archive down in Carlow, the Delaney Archive, and Bernie takes care of the records of the Patrician brothers, the Brigidine sisters, Carlow College, and Kildare and Loughlin Diocese. The Jesuit archivist, Damien Burke, who's assistant archivist there, has contributed. Brian Kirby with the Capuchins, a number of academics. But it's great, as I say, as an archivist myself, and you're working away in the background, really a lot of people doing wonderful work. So I'm delighted for once that some of those people are maybe front of house. And Roddy Hegarty, who's based up in the O'Fee Library up in Armagh, has also contributed a wonderful piece based around the work of Louis O'Kane. So as well as the academics, we've a couple of academics from Galway, Limerick, and Dublin, who've also contributed. So there's, but they're very, very accessible, lively pieces.
And what was the brief that you gave them, David?
The brief, I suppose, the genesis of the book, we've a very small office here, and a lot of work actually happens over 11 o'clock coffee break. So the bishop is in and out, and the staff are here.
I know the feeling, yes.
And Bishop Brendan, he has great energy. So he felt that there was something that needed to be said that wasn't being said, that might be said on faith and the leaders of the Rising. And I suppose I was a bit reticent. It's not my area. And I'm just trying to pinpoint that reticence. I suppose I was in school during the 90s, trying to think back even to the 75th anniversary of the Rising. It was really a non-event. I don't know if you remember.
Somebody
said to me, I was talking to one of the clergy about it. He says, you must have been missing that day in school. It really, I think, given where we were with the troubles and the whole lot, that there was a certain embarrassment. And as I say, I was a bit shy of it. But I suppose in the event, I'm delighted that we undertook the project. What I did was, as I say, I approached some of my colleagues working in archives and church archives, and some academics that I would have known, and others who, and they were all of them very, very good. At quite short notice, they came on board, and have really produced a very, very good. It's about 95 pages, but I think it says something that. I think there are a couple of things I'd say. I suppose faith is a difficult thing to talk about. It's difficult. It's something that's very private. It's something that's very personal. Also, I think today there's probably a certain embarrassment, if I'd even go that far, to talk about things of faith. I'm delighted with the little volume that has come out.
It really is beautiful. And as you said, I think people who are maybe already feeling saturation with 1916 material will be able to sort of pick this up and read a couple of the chapters and then put it down. And it lends itself to that. And I do think that it's important that we, especially people like you and your colleagues working in the archives, I think it's important that we highlight now, this year, exactly what the role of faith was during and after the 1916 Rising. So
yeah, and I'd be thinking, you're asking me, one of my favourite, it's not even an article, it's actually a picture. There's a picture in the book of Father Aloysius Travers. He was a Capuchin friar based in Church Street. And like, I'd love to know more about him. He's the photograph of him is just quite, it's not a modern face, you know, the way when you look at photographs, it's quite an intense face. I was over in London recently, and I was looking at, I was down on the River Walk, and there were fellas out on their skateboards. He almost looks like they were men, but they were on skateboards. He looks kind of cool. But his story is extraordinary. The friendship, he ministered to James Connolly. He was there with James Connolly at the end. But Travers himself, I'd love to know more about him. The piece on Roger Casement mentions, just in passing, Casement visited Irish prisoners of war in Germany. And there's a mention of a Dominican clergyman, a Father Thomas Crotty, who was over in Germany. He was chaplain to Irish prisoners of war in Limburg when Casement visited them. Got a figure who I know nothing about. I'd love to know more about him.
Well, now you've just set yourself the next book.
Oh, very good. There'd be no resting on the laurels.
The book is called The End of All Things Earthly. David Bracken is the author's name on it. It's a beautiful collection of history, of faith history, and of a story that maybe people aren't aware of. So congratulations on the book, David.
Thanks so much.